Welcome to the Not Old, Better podcast, a podcast dedicated to your future. The Not Old, Better podcast is all about revealing your future, offering clarity, health, happiness, and all things senior geek chic. And now your host, Paul Vogelzang.
Hello, everybody. We are back, and it's good to be here. Good to be talking to you again. We left the Eddie shows up a little bit so that we could benefit the film as much as possible. I hope everybody got a chance to see that and enjoy the movie. It was fantastic. It was nice to talk to Eddie, too. My best to Eddie and his family. And as always, just a little bit of housekeeping here. As always, if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with friends. I've put the podcast on SoundCloud, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, nearly everywhere. And you can even use instant messaging platforms, which I'm told by people who are knowledgeable are the future. So certainly for the audience of Not Old, Better, we want to know about the future. And we want to talk about our participation in it. We also want to share it. And if you would, please share, rate, review us on iTunes. That's an important thing for us, and we love getting your feedback. And for more feedback, please email me, paul@notold-better.com. Email me with your ideas for guests, as well as feedback on the show, and whatever you'd like. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different for you. I, of course, have been doing a lot of writing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about why I'm doing the writing, as well as why I'm even doing the Not Old, Better show itself. And really, I've been doing the writing for several years now, some of it under my own name, some of it in behalf of others. And I think it's really now time to kind of start talking about much of this stuff with you and how best to involve you. So I really, I've kind of come at this from a perspective of why do it? You know, I've asked myself this for a few years, and I've kind of said, you know, well, what's the point of writing all this? What's the point of blogging? And what's the point of doing these podcasts? And certainly in my mind, there's no deadline. The deadline, of course, is self-imposed. There's no editor that looms, and in some cases is even interested. But the deadline to me is this deadline to share my voice. Maybe egotistically, I feel like what I have to say is important to you. But really the point of Not Old, Better is to have this presence online for us, and to be sure, but to post often enough so that I can create this interest in kind of being here. You know, it's often been more of a subject for me, you know, about what to post, not whether to. And you can see thus far that I'm writing about careers for us 55 plus age folks. I'm writing about technology for seniors. I'm writing about health. I'm writing about fitness. I'm trying to do a little bit of storytelling, as well as a lot of other subjects. But mainly, at least initially, I've ended up writing a little bit about myself, since, you know, I am a relatively fixed point in this constant interaction between us and with the ideas and facts of my world. And that, of course, is the world of a 58-year-old man. And in this sense, the historic form closest to blogs is the diary. But with this difference, a diary is almost always a private matter. The diary, you know, is raw honesty. It's dedication to marking life as it happens and remembering life as it was, and that makes it more of a terrestrial log. It's kind of private storytelling. In this case, I'm going to be doing more of a public storytelling, you know, and again, contrasting it with this diary notion. A few diaries, of course, are meant to be read by others, of course, just as some correspondence could be, but usually it's posthumously. I hope that's not the case with this show. And it's sometimes considered a way to compile some facts for a more considered, perhaps autobiographical kind of rendering, and that's not what I'm after here. But a blog, unlike a diary, is instantly public. It transforms this most personal and retrospective of forms into a painfully, sometimes, public and immediate one. It combines the confessional genre with the log form and exposes me, you know, the author, in a manner that no author really has ever been exposed before. So, I mentioned this a little bit ago, but I've written online for years now. But this is different. This is, it's my own writing in my own voice, and it represents my own version of kind of mainstream media combined with these other inspirations that I've kind of transcribed into some essays in the first person. So I'm mixing some genres now, and I think that's something I've always done. I'm not so egotistical to believe that I'm the first one to discover this publishing broadcast method, but I do think it's one that we together can do and enjoy, and I'm hoping that's the case. So you'll get my version of events, absolutely, and what's going on in the media. Certainly, you'll get interviews, as we did with Eddie. And you'll get my kind of meanderings. Hopefully, some of you will respond. Hopefully, some of you will think what I have to say is going to be worth your time. I really do believe the community I serve will be interested. Those over 50 are a growing group, certainly a growing group online, and I think we have a lot to say. And I think really that the insights and the brilliance is probably going to most often come from you. The atmosphere created will inevitably be formed, you know, kind of by my personality, hopefully. And in that case, you know, the blogosphere, and I'm talking about the atmosphere of the blog, will contain, you know, kind of maybe my daring and maybe not so daring expressions of myself. So it's in those moments that I'll reveal more about myself in a few unguarded sentences, you know, before hitting the delete key. And I'll be doing so with some humor, some self-awareness, and humility. In that way, there will be no hiding. You'll hear from me in my voice, and you'll hear from others, too. I am eager about your views. I'm certainly eager to kind of see your comments, your tips, your own reporting on aging, and together we're going to expand this knowledge base of what it means to move forward in life with all of our experience and balance and our own take on the world. For example, the points of my essays, and I'll read one to you in just a few minutes, and I'll do some reading from time to time. But the points of these essays are going to appear both in written and verbal form, and I'll describe in my own voice what's going on and why the subject appealed to me in the first place. You'll be getting these two distinct expressions that will be clearly identifying the message, but also explaining what went into it, you know, some of the insights and ideas and even the arguments that will turn this entire experience into something, I think, a little bit more solid and, I think, more lasting and rewarding to you. So it's my hope, again, that the essays you read and listen to and soon see in my video posts will spawn some discussion that'll be best handled in a blog. The conversation, our conversation, in other words, is the point. And the different idioms used by the conversationalists today all contribute something of value to it. And so, if the defenders of the old media, who once really regarded blogging as some kind of junior varsity effort, hopefully they'll see this now as our portal and a spur to more. In fact, I really believe that for all the intense gloom surrounding the subject of aging, this really is actually a golden age for us. That writing, speaking, using our voice has never been easier. And the blogosphere has added a whole new idiom to the act of writing and introduced our active, newly identified generations to the means of this publishing. It's enabled me as a writer, certainly, to write out loud in ways that I never would have seen and certainly understood before. And I'm hoping that you'll join in. And it's exposed this hunger and need for communication that I think in the age of TV, certainly all of us grew up with that golden age, it seems now almost on the wane. Words, I think, of all sorts, have never seemed so now. And I really like inspirational quotes and words, as many of you know, and many of you have commented already on my blog about this. But I love the words of Chris Hughes. He's one of the co-founders of Facebook. He spoke in 2013's commencement of Georgia State University students. And he said, and I love this passage most of all, he said, in quote, "All too often, those big ideas run up against the challenge of the everyday, in particular, how to find work that pays the bills. A lot of the time, meaningful work becomes necessary work, and passions are forced to fade. The easy part is knowing that you should follow your heart and do something important. The hard part is coping with the world as it is today at the same time as you invent it, how it should be in the future, our future." So this then, this notion of not old but better, is my human brand. And I hope you enjoy my reading today. Thanks, everybody. Old and Still Evolving by Paul Vogelsang. So what year did you graduate from high school? Do they really think that I don't see right through that question? I keep my cool and politely answer their inquiry. I know they just want to hear me tell them my age. They just want to hear it from the horse's mouth, some kind of admission of guilt. But I am innocent. I am 58 years old, and I am proud of my age and the vast experience and wisdom I have acquired over the years. But I am facing the same difficulties as countless others my age in re-entering the job market. Last year, I was laid off from a job after being told that my position was being eliminated. Shortly after, I found out that someone else replaced me. Since then, I have applied to countless jobs. I don't worry about my future, and I'm not seeking jobs out of desperation or the fear of financial collapse. I am seeking a job because of my strong desire to keep working, learning, and achieving. Recently, an article in the New York Times entitled "After Years Out of a Job, Older Workers Find a Way Back In" emphasized the rapidly shifting set of workplace skills needed today. The conclusion, quote, "be pliable," unquote, doesn't quite address all the issues. As older job applicants, we need to simultaneously deflect skepticism about our age and embrace the unique qualities that older applicants may offer, such as creativity, resourcefulness, and yes, tech savviness, and proficiency in social media. The responsibility to promote these qualities falls on us. I advise us to do it in a certain way. Keeping up with times is what successful job seekers do regardless of age. If we, as 50 and older aspirants, are to re-enter the tough world of employment, we need to fully embrace our own evolution toward the future. Some older job seekers opt to take online classes, and my generation has fair access to all things digital. Through study, I believe that boomers can showcase technological prowess. There are thousands of courses to choose from, many of which are free. In addition to obtaining unofficial certification through these courses, I've found it beneficial to
impress instructors in order to obtain letters of recommendation, doing all of this in gaining the necessary traction to apply for some of these jobs. If this appears to be a burden, ask somebody for a comment or 2 or 3 or 4 sentences on a LinkedIn page, a mention of excellent participation from the advisor, the course creator, the course leader, or instructor will be an extra boost to an applicant's credibility. Knowing how to stand out in a class of 100 is excellent preparation for the actual game of full-time employment. Online reputation sounds great, but we also need to show up to the interviews looking fresh and energetic, understanding that the days of the power suit are gone in most offices and industries. It's been quite a challenge to figure out what casual means to me and then pick clothes that I will not be embarrassed to wear as a 50-something man in a corporate setup. It need not cost a lot of money. I look at this in a way that means updating my wardrobe, and it's as simple as walking into one of the many chains focused on a younger demographic and finding a look that fits me. Embracing my age seems to be the best approach, not trying to be something or someone I can't be. I have the aptitude and desire to continue working. Lowering my expectations does not appeal to me, and I believe we need to raise the bar for ourselves and not fear change. We need to avoid stasis, be self-critical, and do the hard work to get back into the race. We need to recognize that the job market is about individuality rather than conformity, and to be aware that our skills seem to be diminished in the eyes of younger employers, and address their skepticism with energy and enthusiasm. At the same time, our cultural view of older men and women needs to be refreshed. If you're gray or bald, I say, be proud and shout about it. Let everyone know how much you have to give to your potential employer and your community. Put your assets on display. And when it's time for an interview with your employer, who is young enough to be your child, just remember one thing. Your qualifications, experience, and talent will set you apart from the rest.
Navigating you to a future of clarity, health, happiness, and senior geek chic. Choosy seniors choose better, or because seniors like you choose better. The Not Old, Better Podcast. Not Old, Better.